Welcome to the Leamington United Mennonite Church Sunday Morning Message Podcast. For more information about Leamington United Mennonite Church, please visit our website at www.lumc.ca.
Well, just before I came in, I met Brother Ron Dirksen outside, and he said, "Man, isn't this a great series, this Making Melody to Our God?" Right? You said that to me. I didn't make this up. It is an interesting thing, music and its power. And we are digging in deep because making melody to our God gets awfully close to the heart of what it is to have faith and to believe. You know, this series came out, it's an outgrowth of something we did a few years ago. We asked you, the congregation, give us your heart songs. Give us the songs that really hit you, that really are at the heart of where you are. And you responded. We have a whole list of songs, and regularly when we create our services as we build them up, we refer to that, and we do that to this day. What we're doing this summer is connected to that. You know, our forefathers and mothers, the people who founded this church in the 1920s, I am told that in Russia, in the Ukraine, when they came to church, they did not come carrying their Bibles with them. Instead, they carried their hymn books, their Gesangbuch. Now, that's a bit curious. Why? Why would they have done that? Well, our hymn books, our hymns, continue to be theological expressions they continue to tell the story of the Bible, but in a form that we can carry with us in hymn books. And I'm going to suggest today that our very most powerful hymns come in here and in here. Last spring, or this past spring, we were in Jerusalem, and we were guests in a Jewish household. The father was a doctor, and he made a point of taking me over to a wall in his big living room. And it was a wall of books. And he explained what they were. In the center of this big display of books was the Torah, the Old Testament. And surrounding that were some of the commentaries on that. But surrounding that were tons of books, which were commentaries on the commentaries. And these were commentaries collected over thousands of years. He suggested this was his most valuable possession, this wall of books. Interesting. We continue to use our hymn books, and we have some in our pews. We find as we choose music that not everything is in there. And so we actually occasionally in our bulletin will have an older hymn from an older hymn book that we include. And then there's new music that's not in our hymn book, and we put that up on the screens. I don't know if you know this, but our denomination is working on a new hymn book again. 2020. They plan to have it. It will probably be in a book form and in an electronic form. We haven't seen it yet, but they're working on it. Music and lyrics go deep inside us. They get very personal. That I could sing along with you, Ken, is remarkable because I knew the words. Green alligators and long-necked geese, humpy-back camels and some chimpanzees. Now, why would I remember something like that? There it was. Yeah. I was talking to Jim Wiebe recently. He's our music therapist at the Mennonite home. And he went on at some length about how music and the words that come with that music are deep, deep inside people, including old people, including those in states of dementia, minds that are deteriorating. Hymns and songs are sometimes remembered when nothing else can be retrieved. So, this past Thursday, I was on the list to do the service at LMH. So I thought, well, I'll just continue in this series. I will pick a hymn, and we will go at it that way. And I used a German hymn by Paul Gerhardt. It's called Befiehl du deine Wege. And I told a story, and I'm going to repeat the story here. It's a story about my grandfather's life and the connection with the song. That's my grandpa, Heinrich Winter. 1935, he is arrested by the KGB, and he's imprisoned. Why? Because he had persisted in preaching. He was told, you can't do that. He did it anyway. And right after Easter, he was arrested. First put in prison in Zaporozhye. Eventually, he was sent to hard labor in Siberia for 5 years. But in between, he was put into another large prison in Dnipropetrovsk, a bigger city further north up the Dnieper River. And that's where he went on trial. Yeah, this is a picture of him when he came back from Siberia, beard. A very tough time. The interrogation in this prison was tough, very violent. He had to stay in very poor sleeping conditions, often sleeping on the floor. The political prisoners, which he was one of, were mixed with the regular thieves and murderers. And so some of the hardest stuff was what happened when these thugs attacked them and stole their clothes and made threats. And then my grandfather was given a gift, and he saw it as a gift. He was put in a jail cell with someone he knew, another preacher, actually. His name was Aaron Thiessen. They were overjoyed to see each other. I mean, they didn't have to try to stay up all night to make sure they weren't knifed by the other people. They could pray together, and then they could try from memory to come up with scripture, and they tried to quote scripture, and they would help each other. And then they started remembering songs. One of my grandfather's favorite songs was a song called Befiehl du deine Wege. It's number 406. It's a little black book. Get it out. 406. Befiehl du deine Wege und was mein Herz erkränkt. It's a song written by Paul Gerhardt in the 1600s. And here's the thing. If you find it on page 400, number 406, what are there, three verses on that page? Turn the page. What do you find there? 12. These two guys sitting in prison, helping each other and pushing, and came up with all 12 verses. And then they sang them. Something like Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas there in jail. So I have this wonderful picture of these two older men. They weren't older. I have a picture in my mind of them later. But singing this heart song, and if you know German, you could read it and you would discover that it's a song about trials and life and difficulties and faith. Well, I say that and I'll refer back to that story at the end. The texts that Shane read for us this morning are among the most beautiful in the Bible. They are all love texts. They all speak about God's love. And I think they get to the very core of what the Bible's message is for us. God equals love. Spencer began with reading us Psalm 103. It describes a God who has given us everything. That text, Psalm 103, I've seen it used at a communion service. I've seen it used at a funeral. I've seen it used at weddings. And although it's an Old Testament text, although it's written well before Jesus is born, it is a love psalm. Beautiful words. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's steadfast love towards those who fear him. The psalmist says that everything we experience and see, the high heavens above us, the earth beneath, everything reminds us that God loves us. Verse 13, which Spencer didn't read, it goes on to describe God like a parent. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has love for those who fear him. And so although the Old Testament is full of God's law, full of stories of an unfaithful people and their attempts to understand God, there's already an understanding that behind this world, behind this universe, there is a God who loves. In the New Testament, of course, with Jesus coming into this world, love takes center stage. Now, if there's one passage in the Bible that we associate with love, it would be 1 Corinthians 13. And it was good to hear it read in this service because I hear it read most often at weddings. We figure, well, this is a wedding text. Not really. It certainly is appropriate there, but this is a text which gets to the heart of what God equals love, what that equation might mean. It's a song about God and the fact that he is love. You know, most often we read Paul, and we're really reading his correspondence here, right? He wrote some letters to some churches, and we now have them in our Bible, and we read them regularly, and there's a lot of stuff in there which he tells people off for behaving badly, for not understanding things, trying to explain things. But here we discover that Paul is really a songwriter. It is a poem that he reads, that he writes here. Spencer read it very well, but I'd like to read it for you again, and I'd like to use the modern free translation by Eugene Peterson. He wrote this in the book he called The Message. It's good to hear it again in language that fits our time. So listen to it again, written this time or translated by Peterson. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all its mysteries and making everything plain as day, and I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I do not love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for the self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel while others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with everything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday, praying in tongues will end, understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was a baby at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any baby. But when I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't see things clearly yet. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to lead us: trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. And the best of those three is love. In 1 John 4, the text makes it crystal clear. God equals love. Again, let me read it to you in the modern translation. My friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. And you can't love him if you can't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. That's the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. And then the last scripture text, John 3:16. God so loved the world. God loves so much that he sacrifices. The most amazing thing about love is that it is also sacrificial. Love needs to have a partner to work. Love needs a focus. And this verse tells us that God loves us so much that he sacrificed for us. God hurt himself. He gave of himself. That's how much we humans are loved deeply by God. Well, those are the texts that I think Gerhard Terstegen would have had in mind as he wrote our hymn, O Power of Love, All Else Transcending. He's a German hymn writer, 17th century, deeply affected by the love of God. And if you look at his other hymns, this is a theme that runs through many of them. But as I looked at the text, I read the German and English. He wrote it originally in the German. Ich bete an die Macht der Liebe. The original is better. And I want to explain to you why. First of all, in the German, translation, Ich bete an die Macht der Liebe, it literally means I pray to the power of love that I see in Jesus. The English translation, it rhymes and it all works well, but it loses that part of it. I think that's central. Second difference is in the original first verse, which we don't have in our hymnal. There's something very curious. I give myself to love because of the worm that I am. The original called, Terstegen called himself a worm, Wurm. I looked that up. I think he was saying that because despite the fact that he felt unworthy, God loves him. And that was central. And then the final part. Bathe in love's mighty boundless ocean. Now, the German says, ins Meer der Liebe mich versenken. I see this as diving into the ocean of love. Isn't that a great image? Dive in. We have our pool open. We have some friends over with little children. All yesterday afternoon, diving in. We keep our water at 90 degrees. It's a happy time for children, right? We dive into the sea of love. At the beginning of my sermon, I told you about the story of my opa and how he and his friend Aaron Thiessen could remember the words of a hymn. And Ken reminded me that I could come up with the words of a song that I had thought about in 25 years. What songs could you come up with if you were suddenly in prison? What songs are inside you that might remain when your memory starts to go? What will you still sing when you are old? You know, we have our share of funerals at this church, and music is always an important part of those services as we celebrate and mourn together. We will sing here, and then we go to the graveyard. We will have a service there. And at the very end of that service at Evergreen Memorial, I asked the family, would you like to end with a song? I asked that because if there is a song that we know by memory that we can sing through crying, we're always crying at that point, through our tears, and is there something that we would like to sing as we have this intersection of life and death there at the graveyard? And often families will say, yes, we would like to sing something there. They're simple, simple songs. Sometimes they're called children's stories. Imagine yourself there at Evergreen Memorial Gardens. You've all been there. There before you is a hole dug in the ground, and the body of your loved one lying in a casket, suspended there between the earth beneath and the sky above. And then we sing a song about God's love. We don't sing Ich bete an die Macht der Liebe, O power of love. That's not necessarily inside our memories. But I'd like us to sing right now two songs that are there. They're on the screens if you need it. Jesus Loves Me. And then Gott ist die Liebe. God is love.
Jesus loves me this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones who him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, at his little child coming. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. God is the Liebe, lass mich erlösen. Gott ist die Liebe, liebt auch mich. Drum sag ich's noch einmal, Gott ist die Liebe. Gott ist die Liebe, liebt auch mich.
May you swim in God's ocean of love, now and always. Amen.
If you have questions or comments about the previous recording, please send us an email to lumc@live.com. If you would like more information about Leamington United Mennonite Church, please visit our website at www.lumc.ca.